Hello and welcome to the Feel Strong Fitness Podcast. My name is Justin McClintock, and this week we have Hugo Romero on the podcast. Hugo is the founder and owner of Hustle Repeat, an in-person and remote fitness business based in St. Martin. He's also a friend and a colleague of several years. Hugo's story is remarkable, from starting as an overworked, burned-out coach in France to owning his own successful business on the island of St. Martin. We talk about that journey, what it's like to be scared you're going to fail, and how getting uncomfortable is really, really important. This is Hugo Romero on the podcast. Hugo Romero, welcome to the Feel Strong Podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me.
I am excited to have you. This has been a long time coming. I was trying to think leading up to this because I got really excited when you agreed to be on the show. I think we've known each other for a little over 2 years now, even though that seems impossible.
Yeah, it seems impossible, but it's been already 2 years, I think.
Because you and I started in the same active life professional cohort. We were going through ALP together.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And now we should maybe back up. So Hugo Romero, the founder of Hustle Repeat, would you tell people when someone asks you, when someone stops you on a gorgeous street lined with palm trees, says, what is Hustle Repeat? What do you say to them?
That's actually a question that I've been asking myself on how to answer to that question. And actually, at the moment, I say I help people make better decisions for their health. And usually I have a follow-up answer to that, questions to that, which is, okay, how do you do that? And answer to that, I use education, exercise, and mentorship to help people make better decisions for their health, especially those who deal with some type of chronic issues, whether it's pain or disease.
I love that.
That's it.
Now, how many, and you do work in person and remotely with people, correct?
Yeah. I mostly work in person. I have very few clients remotely. And it's a side of the business that I'm trying to grow.
You're currently based in St. Martin, yes?
Exactly. The French West Indies. The sun, the sea, and the sand.
And it looks amazing. And I've seen it through Zoom a number of times when I've had the opportunity to talk with Hugo, either one-on-one or in group calls. Would you walk people through, because what you've done and accomplished is very impressive. I know you don't see it that way. But when just shortly before you and I met, you were living in France and coaching, correct?
Exactly.
And now you own a successful business on a beautiful tropical island.
That's beautifully said. I love it.
So that's a cool journey. Would you want, like, what's the decision to take this big, scary jump? And what were sort of the benchmarks along the way?
So it's been a multiple step process to actually take decisions. It's been multiple decisions taken along the years. And so I've been living in France since I was born, in Lyon, in the second biggest city in France. And I started coaching in 2018. I was full-time in a CrossFit gym, in a big CrossFit gym, actually, with more than 600 members.
That's big.
And I was coaching a lot, Monday through Sunday, lots of hours in group class, lots of hours in PT. And at some point, I found myself working too much, and this would alter my relationship with my partner at the time, which is still my partner today. And so this was the first time it made me realize that I should change something, because she told me, so she was born in St. Martin, came to do her studies in France. We met there and she finished her studies when we were together, and she was about to go home. And she told me, I can't wait for you for 1 year, but if you don't change how you work and you don't make more time for us, then I may leave right now. So this was my first realization. Okay, I may work too much. So I started implementing some things to try to work less without imputing my salary. And this is when I started to be interested in what Active Life was offering. So I started consuming their content on socials. And then COVID-19, we had the first curfew, confinement. And I had some money on the side because I was working a lot. And now I didn't have any work anymore when we were confined. So I decided that I would enroll in the course they had at the time. It was immersion, so a 3 months long course. The goal was to help coaches solve bigger problems than ass and abs and make more money doing it. And on top of that, doing it remotely, because we were all at home. So it was a good way for me to transition my clients that I had in person to remote and make more money doing it with more time. And while I was doing that, during the confinement, I found myself locked in a very small place. We had 30 square meters with a window giving to a wall. So we had no real light. We couldn't go outside. And it made me realize how important the environment was for my health, whether it's physical or mental. And I think COVID really helped me decide that I wanted to go somewhere else. And I naturally ended up in St. Martin because my girlfriend is from here and she wanted to come home. And it was one of the best decisions so far that I've taken.
And just highlighting that, like everybody, well, a lot of people listening to this, I think will resonate with working too hard and feeling burned out. Mm-hmm. Having that potentially affect their relationships. I have absolutely been there and had to have long conversations. And then the double whammy of COVID, a lot of people, I mean, we know lots of people who left the industry or whose gyms failed quickly after some kind of lockdown or COVID restrictions, things like that, to respond to that lockdown with one, investing in a bunch of education for yourself is a big scary move. And then to take that and say, oh, okay, you know, because you're working in a giant place, 600 members. I suspect it survived the pandemic just fine. I suspect they're still doing very well. And that's steady. You were working too much, but you were making good money, and saying, not only am I going to invest in my education, but I'm going to move to a completely different place. And understood your girlfriend is from there. So it's not a completely, you know, foreign land as it were to you, but a new place where you don't have any connections, really, absolutely no community. And I'm going to try and make a go of it here. In those circumstances, I think that's a remarkably brave move. I also think it shows a lot of insight as to what's going on. Because if you're with hindsight now, what if you had tried to wait it out? And it would have been another 2 years of wishing something had happened. And I suspect wishing you had taken
this bold move that you did earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you said, it was really two personal things that made me take that decision, because our work has a big impact on how we feel, and how we feel has a big impact on how we show up for the people we love. So if I would have stayed in that same situation, I would probably not be in a relationship anymore and feeling burnt out. Maybe I would have retired from the fitness industry.
Entirely possible. I mean, maybe not, but it sounds like you were on the road to being single and unhappy.
Yeah.
But you also recognize that. I also think it's worth pointing out, when you signed up for immersion, I also did immersion. We didn't do it together, I don't think, but around the same time. And I also found it terrifying, even though I was staying where I lived. Immersion was entirely through Zoom, live sessions you showed up to at least once a week for a lecture, and then you went and did assignments, tests, quizzes. Immersion was entirely in English, which is not your native language. And that was I remember you mentioning a bit of a stumbling block. You signed up for it, but were concerned to show up on Zoom calls and even introduce yourself, if you would be good enough to do that and able to navigate some pretty complicated material not in your native language.
Yeah. I've always been pretty good at reading English. Well, the level of education in languages in France is pretty low, so I've been good in that standard. And I always had some interest in the English language and American culture. So I decided that I found that in the fitness industry, most of the courses were good courses were in English. So I started reading every books in English for, I don't know, maybe 3 years before I enrolled in Active Life Immersion course. And yeah, I remember as if it was yesterday, the really nervous sensation that I had to just say, hello, my name is Hugo, I'm French and I work in a CrossFit. I was like, wow, can I do it? And I did it. It was very scary. And it got easier and easier. And I'm happy to have this discussion today actually with you, because, yeah, it's not my first language.
Yeah, and I don't speak a lick of French. And and I think you've expressed this before, and everyone I've ever spoken to is always surprised when you do. Because they're like, but Hugo's, his English is perfect. What is he talking about? It's like, well, he would like it to be better, but it's part of what makes him so good at what he does is that he always wants these things to be better and be improving. And he sees ways that he can keep amplifying his progress. Mm-hmm. So
I appreciate that.
We take the jump, huge leap. You're in St. Martin. You've started some pretty significant and frankly, pretty expensive education. And you're about to start a business. How does that work? How do you land on a beautiful island and say, all right, I guess I'm going to start a business? Because for people who don't know, I have a little bit of experience. Island life is gorgeous, but harder. Everything's harder on an island. It's harder to get stuff. It's harder to get things done. It tends to be somewhat provincial governments who like to take their time doing things. Island life has some significant struggles.
Yeah. Two things that come up to my mind as you say it. The first one is that I prepared myself so much to leave France that I didn't prepare to land in St. Martin. And I thought that it would have been easy, and it wasn't. And I think I needed a year to realize that once in St. Martin. And yeah, as you say, life on an island is looking good. And when you have to do administrative stuff, it's hard and especially on St. Martin, because you have two sides on the island. You have one Dutch government, one French government, and most of the people here are not Dutch or French. They're from the islands or from America or from Latin America. Lots of people are from here. So this adds a little more friction to anything you want to start, because you can't open a business because you found a beautiful place on the Dutch side, because it's a Dutch government and you don't have Dutch papers. So you it limits the choices that you have. My first step when landing here was to find a job so that I can survive and buy some food. And I started with another course. It was a week course on the island for entrepreneurs that would give you all the information you needed to start a business, to at least think on which type of business you want to open so that you can make good decisions. So it was the first step, and I met people there that helped me to meet other people that helped me to do my stuff as I wanted to do. So this was the first step. Then I found some work in another CrossFit gym. I had lots of experience, so it was easy for me to find a CrossFit gym. The only point was that it was on the Dutch side and nobody were speaking French there. So it was the first time I had to speak entirely, to coach entirely in English. It was another challenge for me, but it was good to be in the discomfort, really.
And I understand what you mean when you say that. Could you unpack what you mean by that? Why is it good to live in that discomfort? Why is it good to put yourself in that uncomfortable situation?
So it's good because you have no choice than doing the thing. No other choice than doing the thing. And it may be uncomfortable for a while. And it was for me, yeah, really for a year. It was uncomfortable to be here because I had no friends, no family, no steady job. I had an idea of a business, but I didn't have any. So yeah, it was uncomfortable, but it made the process faster because I had to do the thing, really. Discomfort is, I mean, if we go back to the four definitions of pain, insult, irritation, pain, and injury, the irritation is what I call discomfort in our conversation, because without discomfort, without irritation, we don't make choices to adapt, and it's necessary for adaptation. So now that I zoomed out, I see it this way, but when you're in the fire doing the thing, you're like, oh my God, I will never make it. And I did, because I had some support, people like you that were inspiring me every day to do the thing. And so I also wanted to tell you that you really, from the beginning, when we were in the Active Life course together, I saw how professional you looked and how professionally you talked and how the attitude and the body language that you had. And I was really looking up to you for that. And it helped me step up in my game.
Oh, I really appreciate that. But we hadn't talked about that before, so I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And that sort of leads me to what I think is another big, and you correct me where I'm wrong and fill in any blanks, but another big step in you building this business is making connections and building this community around yourself. Like you met these people in the entrepreneurship course. You met, mm-hmm. I suspect, at least some people who you're still in contact with in the CrossFit gym. How do you go about building this sort of network and team around you, which might be socially, professionally, a combination of these things, the people that you're going to need to help make you all of these connections that are necessary, especially for a one-on-one in-person business, right? Because mm-hmm. so much of your stuff is there. You need to be able to talk to these people. You need to be able to find people. You need ideally other people to be talking about your stuff. That yeah. also seems like a real challenge in a new place.
It is a challenge because, so in my situation, it was intentional. I viewed it as a challenge, but I knew that it was the thing to do, to spend lots of energy to talk to new people, to ask questions, and just to, yeah, try to understand people better, whether it's professionally or personally, so that I could make connections. And it was really about that, the ability that I learned and that I improved to talk to people better, so that I could create better, faster connections with people. And as you say, our work as personal trainers, it's that, creating connections, making connections with people, having them feel understood and heard. And I think it's something that gets better with practice. And with that situation that I was in, I had no choice than practicing. So it was a good school to learn.
Yeah, getting those reps in is really important. Getting those reps in under a lot of pressure is more uncomfortable, but can sometimes be more effective in that situation when you need to find a way to make it work. Then it's a little easier to spend some of that energy. Like you said, you spent a ton of energy deliberately going out and having these conversations over and over again, which isn't easy. It is a lot of time, and it would be no one would argue with you at the time if you had said, you know, I'm so busy, I need to make money, I don't have time to try and talk to people for 2 hours a day at local stores. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try and do it, you know, once a day, every 2 weeks, and that'll be good. And I'll slowly let things build from there. Nobody would argue with you, but the progress would have been far, far slower and easier for you to hit burnout, fatigue, or some sort of, you know, financially disastrous point where you decide that you can't carry on and need to take a sharp left turn or fold it in. So pouring all that energy in and making yourself take all of those reps over and over and over again is exactly what you needed to do at the time.
Yeah. And as you said, it's something that I was thinking about, just giving up in that process and finding another job so that I could, yeah, survive. Because otherwise, I mean, I've always been full-time coach since January 2018. And I've never done anything else than that. Even though I know that I have skills to go find another job, not skills, but I know that I can handle the stress and the ability to learn new skills, but that's not what I wanted. And it was scary. It was very scary to just think about, okay, what if I don't make it? But it gave that, on the other side, it gave all that sense of challenge and that pushed me harder to do the thing. Yeah.
I think it's worth taking a moment here and addressing exactly that, because I get to, especially in the sales side of active life, that part of my life, mm-hmm. I get to talk to people most days. I talk to coaches all the time. It is unusual if a week goes by and I don't have at least a couple of conversations with coaches who are ready to quit, who have been coaching, who want to, and these are people who want to coach full time. They want coaching to be their career. They want it mm-hmm. to be the thing that they do, and they are on the bubble, ready to quit. Usually, either they're working so much they're completely burnt out, and or they aren't making enough money. And mm-hmm. often those two things are tied together. They aren't making enough money, so they start working so much. Suddenly they're coaching 45 to 50 hours a week. They get utterly burned out and trashed by it. And they're like, well, I can't do this. Like, this doesn't work. And I guess this is what coaching is. So I guess I have to leave because yeah. I can't take it. This isn't supporting me. I'm worried about money all the time. I need to quit. You were in that spot. What would you say to someone who's listening to this right now and wants to be a full-time coach? This isn't for someone who's like, I like coaching my 3 group classes a week and, you know, don't tell me what I have to do. I also like my other job. That's fine. Those people are cool. Someone who wants to coach for a career, they want this to be what they're doing. They're changing people's lives professionally, but they're not sure that it's the right decision anymore because it's gotten scary and they don't know what to do.
My best advice for that person is to choose the people you surround yourself with. Because if I would have stayed with only in-person people around me on the island that I didn't know if they were good people, they had good ideas, good intentions. If I would have stayed in that environment, I mean, most of the people there told me that it was going to be hard and that I may not be able to make it. But on the other side, remotely, I had the people from Active Life supporting me, not just in a way to cheer me up, but also helping me to zoom out and to think and to take decisions for what I wanted to do. So yeah, surrounding yourself with people who help you believe in yourself is the best piece of advice that I can give for that type of people.
That's really good. That's really strong. I like that a lot. Yeah. And now let's jump forward, because one of the things that prompted me to finally ask you again, I don't remember, to be on the podcast was you either sent me a message or posted something in the group that you had, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you had successfully hit exactly your dream schedule. You had laid out a schedule, I think quite a while ago, with your mentor, correct? Mm-hmm. And you said, this is in my dream, like ideally, this is the schedule I'd like to work. And by working that schedule somehow, I want to make this money. And am I correct in saying you are working the schedule and making more than that amount of money?
Yes.
Which is amazing. And yeah. it wasn't a particularly conservative. I mean, you can share whatever you want, but it wasn't a particularly conservative number, right? Like you said something you thought was scary and a big dream, and you've surpassed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's easy to say now that I'm at that point, but I don't know. So I've reached that dream schedule and that dream income literally 2 weeks ago. And I've been in business, so I've opened my business 9 months ago. So for 8 months and a half, I was like, oh my God, it's not going to work. But yeah, doing the thing, staying consistent, creating connections, delivering value to the clients. Yeah, it was really about doing the thing for long. That helps. And at some point, you end up in the situation you created the plan for.
Which I suspect is almost exactly how you coach a number of your clients, right? This probably isn't going to be fast. It's for a while, it's going to seem like nothing's working. You need to be consistent, yeah. And you're going to have to put in the work. And if neither of those happen, this won't, like, I can give you the greatest plan in the world. Mm-hmm. But if you do a third of it, then this definitely won't happen. If you do all of the stuff and show up when we agree you'll show up and do that over and over and over again, 6 months from now, your life is going to be really different. But it's very hard to see that in the day-to-day, week-to-week progression with people on the physical, emotional, mental level, ditto for business. And I have been there as a small business owner looking around saying, well, this isn't working. Or sometimes, and I wonder if this resonates with you, other people are saying, oh, you're so successful and doing such a great job. I'm really impressed. Wow. And I'm looking around and be like, I don't know what you see, but this isn't working right now. And if this is success, I'm in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, exactly. People told me that within the Active Life community since the day I opened my business, they told me, yeah, you're inspiring. It's good to see you killing it. I was like, oh my God, if you knew.
And it wasn't a secret. Yeah. Like you weren't misrepresenting yourself, to be really clear. Mm-hmm. They were impressed that you had gone through this whole journey, which we just outlined and went through. You did the big scary thing. You opened a business. You put the name on the front. You were building it and doing it. That is killing it. And it is. And that part of this is also a thing that I think dovetails nicely with client progression. That part of your journey is other people's goal. Right. I have this conversation with clients all the time who are like, you know, they do something and they, you know, and they talk down to themselves or they say, I'm really not strong. Mm-hmm. And first of all, we correct that language immediately because we don't talk about ourselves like that. And then you point out, I understand that you have different goals. One, we're making progress. Two, when you say things like that out loud, you're dismissing other people's goals, because I have other people who would love to be able to do what you just did. You are already at someone else's goal. Your goal can be somewhere else and be bigger. That's totally great. And yours was. But I think you were seeing people who dream of being able to open a place, people who dream of being able to put their name on the outside of their studio and take a picture and say, hey, grand opening, check it out, which is what you were doing at the time. So yeah. I you were correct and feeling that level of scary and that I'm not done and there's so much work to do. But that kind of perspective, I think, is useful sometimes, and that you were killing it. You just weren't done.
I really, really love how you phrase it, and I will steal it for my clients. Yeah, I really love it. And yeah, I mean, when you open a business, you have big dreams, big goals, and you focus on them, on those. But the day-to-day wins that you have are as important and even more important, because they make the vehicle happen. So yeah, you're totally right.
So what are, to whatever degree you're comfortable sharing them, what are your business goals now? Because I know we're not done. And I also know that, you know, hitting your numbers, your dream numbers 1 month doesn't guarantee that it's going to happen the next 11 months. I've been there too. I hit my dream number, and then the next month I didn't. It was like, what the heck? I thought we were done. Oh no. But things are feeling a little more comfortable and a little more settled. Have your goals shifted? Are there other things we're working on?
Yeah. So my first goal is that I can pay back the equipments that I purchased before the end of the year. This will happen if I keep that income steady. But as you said, reaching that point is one side of the things, and then keeping that goal month to month is another point. My goals now are to grow my business as big as I can, being alone, a single coach and business owner, doing all the hours and the cleaning and all the things that a business owner has to do. And once I reach that capacity, I plan on hiring someone so that I can grow the business and help more people. So I have to find that someone, and I have to prep that someone for that goal. And having that person helping me in the business, helping me, no, it's not helping me, sharing the vision and doing the work with me will help me dedicate more time to active life, because that's also something that I want to do. And I'm sure you will ask questions about it now.
Well, first of all, I want to point out that excellent correction that you just made, that you're not looking for help. You're mm-hmm. looking for someone to work alongside you, and someone who's a lot vision aligned and ready to also do this work that you're doing. Yeah. And if someone's listening and is like, man, coaching on St. Martin sounds like it would be really cool. First of all, it looks really cool, and it would be a value rich environment. And I suspect a bunch of remarkable education to coach alongside someone like Hugo. The way he has built things and done things so far, I can only imagine that whatever the kind of onboarding, on-ramping training process is for coach is going to be really special. So that's exciting. So if anyone's, we'll put all your stuff in the show notes. So if you wanted to DM Hustle Repeat and say, hey, if I just showed up in St. Martin, could I start working for you? And he'd say, well, not today, but let's talk about it. And let's see what that's great. Like. Or maybe you need to do some other things before you show up, or whatever that might be. For the, yeah, let's talk about the active life thing, because it's, I think it might be surprising. And you and I were talking about this a little bit before we started recording. that you're a small business owner. You're the only person there. As you just said, you're doing everything. You are finding the clients, you're acquiring the clients, you're selling them in, you're doing all of their session work, you're doing all of the education, you're cleaning the gym, you source the equipment, you're paying the lighting bill, you're doing all of that behind the scenes stuff to make the business go, which is a ton of work. And there's always two things that you don't think about. As soon as everything feels really good, then the sink in the bathroom starts leaking and it's an emergency. On top of that, you applied for and were hired in a role at Active Life. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I actually, when I applied, I was in, how do you say that? I was not sure that I could be a good fit for this position, but it turned out I am. I'm an evaluator. So what I do with Active Life is grading people's assignments. So people that are taking the same course that we've taken together, the ALP course, I'm giving them grades and feedbacks along the way during their whole curriculum, which I absolutely love because it's like coaching. The way you phrase it and the way you show support to people can and do make a difference in how they absorb content and how they apply it to their life. So me giving them as much support as they need helps them have influence on their people around them. So that's what I love about what I do.
And I think that makes a lot of sense to me, especially having gone through the course. And I know we're both fans and employees of Active Life, but mm-hmm. it speaks volumes to the fact that they would hire someone with your level of experience and pay you what they're paying you when they could have. This could be easily outsourced, right? It'd be the easiest thing in the world to outsource it to some company in the Philippines who would, you know, have the template of the right answers and the wrong answers and mark through it. And it would be very, very cheap and probably very fast mm-hmm. and it would come back, but it wouldn't have that nuance. It wouldn't have that backup and bolster of education and experience, because as you are doing this, as you are evaluating, right, it's not just grading, it's evaluating. You're mm-hmm. giving people this feedback to make them better. We want these people to succeed. If they're going to succeed, they need to deeply understand this information so they can apply it to their coaching life and whatever they're doing. And having someone like yourself on the other side of it, I bet is a surprise for a bunch of people when they're going through this and submitting assignments, but also a lot of value. All of that said, aren't you really busy? Why'd you take this job?
I am busy, but with my mentor, we've set boundaries for my business so that I don't coach more than 25 hours, flow hours of personal training sessions. Then on top of that, I have business hours, which is about, I don't know, maybe 6 hours per, maybe 6-7 hours per week. Why do I applied with Active Life? It's because, as you said, I'm a huge fan. And I share their vision and what they're doing now with their company is a change that I want to see myself in the world. And for me to participate in it is the greatest gift that I could ever ask for. So with that being said, it has been a challenge to change the rhythm because I was all in my business and I will have to make some time. It's about 5 to 10 hours per week working for Active Life. So yeah, it helps me. It helps me. It was hard in the beginning to change the rhythm, but now I really love the balance of coaching clients and then coaching coaches, which was something that I wanted to do as well.
And it's a lot of contribution that you're making in that role.
Yeah.
Do you think being an evaluator is going to help you find and develop the right staff for Hustle Repeat when you bring people on later on?
Definitely. Definitely, because when I hire someone to work with me in the studio, I will expect a certain level of expertise and knowledge, which is basically having gone through the ALP course. And for me to be able to grade and give feedback every day to people who are doing the thing will be, I will be miles ahead when it will be the moment for me to hire a coach, because I will be able to give him or her this feedback in person and guide them to what they really want to do. Why do I say that? Because I have a person who reached out to me. She's not a coach, and she's been super inspired by my business and how I've been coaching her mother and now her sister. And she just said, "Hey, I don't know. I would maybe like to be a coach. Can we do something? Can we meet?" So every week I mentor her. My goal is not to hire her. My goal is to have her realize if yes or no she wants to make coaching a career. So I mentor her to see, to spark her interest and to see if it's something she would like to do. And if it's the case, then she would be a great fit for Hustle Repeat.
That's really cool. Yeah. And that mentoring other people in that way, which can be as formal or informal as someone likes, right? I also have, there's a couple of people that I talk to pretty regularly, and basically we catch up. Every couple of weeks we get on a call. Where are they going? What's happening? What are the struggles? Wait, we talked about this. Why'd you do that? You said you weren't going to do that. Okay, well, you know, and really just asking questions and helping mm-hmm. them kind of figure out what they want to do. And I have no, as it sounds like you do too, absolutely no ulterior motive. I have nothing I really want to sell them. I am not trying to hire them. I'm not trying to send them somewhere in particular. I've gone through a journey and learned some stuff, and it would be nice if someone else's journey was a little smoother than mine. So I'm happy to have those conversations and spend that time and spend that energy, as well as show people what it's like to have someone who's legitimately curious and interested and supportive on the other end of it, who's not trying to make them do anything at all. Because that kind of behavior also is what ideally we want from great coaches going forward, right? We want people, you know, I don't remember if this is on the we were recording or not, but we talked about only selling people the stuff that they're definitely in the market for and never selling people stuff they're not in the market for. And in order to do that, you need to genuinely learn about people and be interested and be curious. Otherwise, you're just trying to, you know, run around asking people for money, and that some people live their life that way, but it doesn't really feel good. It's not how I want to do it.
Yeah, I share what you say. And it's funny that you pointed out that particular thing, because what we do with Active Life when we sell someone our services or anything, I mean, I transfer that those skills to anything in my life, my relationships, and yeah, whether it's professional or personal. But when you sell something, it's because you've understood the problem so deeply that you know what the solution is, and then you deliver it to the people. And I think it goes down to the values of integrity and really wanting to help people and not just sell to sell. Because if someone is not in the market for what we have, then what's the point to sell?
Exactly. If you're motivated by that integrity and those values, and genuinely only wanting to help people, and that means combining those together, only wanting to help people who you can definitely help, you're positive you have the solution, you're positive that it's the right solution for them, right? It's not a, you know, the best program in the world that someone is going to hate and doesn't work with their schedule and doesn't work with their life and require them buying a bunch of equipment they can't afford. That's not the right program. It sure it would work, but it's absolutely the wrong program for that person. And understanding that requires time, or requires learning, and requires genuinely being interested in other people and not just providing a button where you can click a link and enter a credit card.
Yeah. And I believe that it's what Active Life is trying to do with the fact that they hire evaluators like me. As you said, they could have hired a company in the Philippines to just grade tests from a form that is already completed. But they genuinely want to understand what their students needs to improve. And we need humans to do it.
And very specific humans, right? You're like, with your level of expertise and experience, not only are you making the students better, but you're also making the course better. I mean, I'm not invited to these meetings, but I suspect you have somewhat regular meetings going over things that seem to be a problem, things that seem to be high friction spots. Why is everyone getting this question wrong? This can't be worded right. We understand it, but everyone's messing it up. Something's wrong here, and making it better and better and better. And that's how the thing keeps growing. That's the constant pursuit of perfection.
Yeah, absolutely. That we never reach.
No, and we never will. And which is part of the idea, right? I wonder, do you think that, I know the opportunity to work with Active Life presented itself, but I wondered, especially describing what you've gone through before, if you were starting to feel kind of comfortable and were seeking out another challenge, another thing to get a little bit uncomfortable, because that's where the best change and the best adaptation and the best opportunities come from.
Good question. I may have had this idea in my head that, okay, now I've opened my studio and I will grow it until I have 24 hours, floor hours of personal training, and then what else? And I don't think of coincidences, but the position that Active Life dropped at that moment was at the exact time where I was having those ideas. And the fact that I was hired gave me another sense of, let me rephrase this, I really thrive when I have a goal, and especially when that goal is so big that it's scary. I really love that, and that idea to work every day on something to potentially at one point 3 years from now get it is something that I really enjoy. And when I had that idea in my head that, okay, the studio is doing well, I don't know, in 6 months I will be full time, what's next? It was scary, but in the other side of scariness, let's say, to not have a big enough goal to thrive. And it's funny that you point this out, because I didn't think about it before.
Yeah, I think there's something there. I think things were going well and you were looking around saying, okay, well, we need to, I have this, there's always nuance, this can always be better, but I've crossed a really big border of feeling comfortable and knowing this is going to work. What's another thing I can work on? What's another challenge? How do we make this better and better and better? And by this, I mean, yes, hustle repeat, but also you, like, always seeking out like more challenges and more education and ways to both improve yourself and, by improving yourself, deliver value to the rest of society.
And it's what I love the most about anything that I do with Active Life or with my coaching, is that being super selfish and improving myself every day will benefit my work and the people around me. So it's a win-win.
I love that. Be selfish. It's really one of the best things you can do for other people.
Yeah, it is.
Hugo Romero, it has been a joy to have you on. People are going to want to reach out and talk to you and ask you questions and try to hire you. How should they do that?
They should send me a DM on Instagram at hr.hustle.repeat, and I will answer to them within 2 hours.
That is quite a commitment.
I'll try.
All right. So everyone in Australia, get on this. I know we. I just got a notification that I went up in Japan. We went up like 5 spots on the Japanese podcast list. So Hugo has committed to answering you in Japan in 2 hours.
No. Can I change what I said? Can we start the recording over?
You will respond in a timely manner.
Yeah, that's nicely said.
This has been great. Hugo, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
I really appreciate you. Thank you for having me. I had a great time talking with you.
And I will have you on anytime.
Cool.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. Bye, Justin.
Thank you so much for listening to the Feel Strong Fitness Podcast. Please subscribe and leave a 5-star rating if you have the time. That makes a really big difference. If you have questions, you want details, DM us on Instagram at FeelStrongFit. There's more information on the website at feelstrong.me. We value effectiveness, individualization, and empathy. See what it's like to have an expert in the field really listen, hear what you need, and build you the perfect program to get you where you want to go. Today is the perfect time to get started. Reach out. We'll be right back.